I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey man, it's Kevin Smith, the guy who feels everything he says is so important that he's got six podcasts to his name, and you're listening to Hey Fam, another podcast he's trying to get his elbow inside of, man. Spread his voice around like a virus.
Yeah.
Hello Fam, welcome to Hello Fam.
Hello Fam is the
how they say it in France.
Yeah, it's the number one Ready Player One podcast. This is our 200th episode breaking down Stevie Spielberg's hit film of 2016.
As always,
released in 2018, Ready Player One. It's called Ready Player Fun in some territories. It's like a UK horror movie in France, but everywhere else it's called Hey Fam. Just because we're sued in every other country. But yeah, this is the 90th episode about Ready Player One.
Yep.
This week we're breaking down the 90th minute of the movie. We do a minute an episode. Yeah.
Ready Player One, minute by minute.
The scene's cool. You can see a reference to
AR.
Yeah,
that's right. It's really cool. There's a Yowie.
There's like a third rate studio character that like they could just settle on.
It's Blanka from Street Fighter. Wow.
It's the alt colors. It's not even the green and orange Blanka. It's like when you upped it and it was like the blue hair with the yellow skin. It's like, sorry, it was Konami wouldn't give them the right.
A Fraggle just gave him a Kinder Surprise and he's just opened it up and out of it.
And it's one of the shit cars you build.
One of the cars.
It's cars. It's not from cars.
No, it's planes.
It's planes.
It's one of the planes from the movie Planes.
Who's the dude at Dane Cook?
Was that who? I never saw Planes.
Neither have I.
Planes was Disney going, we don't even need Pixar.
Yeah, we're making our own
look what we can do without Pixar.
That got shut down recently, I read. The home animation Disney Toons, were they called? Was that other studio? Because they have Walt Disney Animation, which does the Walt Disney films. Your Wreck-It Ralphs, your Frozen. I was about to call it Frosted because we're just looking at Guy Fieri
photos. You're looking at your own hair.
Looking at my own hair. I think that got shut down, the one that does straight to video shit.
Yeah, right.
Remember the 90s and early noughties? It was just Mulan 9.
Sometimes I lie in bed at night and I just...
No, no, bro.
I just remember the 90s.
I remember the 80s and then I go, that's why I do a podcast. Ready Player Fun.
Anyway, my name's Levins.
My name's Artemis. No, who's the leader in Ready Player One? Percival?
E-Honda.
I mean, I'm Saget. Saget's the best name.
I can't even remember any of the Sub-Zero. It was a Mortal Kombat characters in that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Chappie. Your name's Chappie.
I'm Chappie. I'm Brad Bird's Chappie. South Africa's Iron Giant. I love when the nation of South Africa got together. After apartheid, they decided that was bad. And they're like, next thing we're going to do is remake Iron Giant. And we're going to call it Chappie. And then everyone has to pitch in. And that's why Diane Wood are in it. They're like, we're doing it. Have you seen that movie? We've speaking.
No
about
one's
it.
Seen Chappie.
I've seen it.
You've seen Chappie? Wow.
It had so much potential.
My life is a lie.
Yeah, no, it's the best thing about it is Hugh Jackman plays a CEO of a tech company. No, he plays the CEO of a tech company.
Also, he plays Ben Mendelsohn's character in Ready Player One.
But a jock, and he's an ex-Australian rugby player. So every scene he's walking around with his polo shirts, collar up, and just a rugby ball, like in an office. It's so amazing. It's like, how do we explain the Australian accent? And he's really like, I can do a South African accent. I'm a good actor. No. Like, they'll snuff you out. How about we put this ball in your hand? And that's the explanation for him being Australian. He has to carry a football around. It's so wild.
I reckon there are those kind of Australians in South Africa.
Oh, for real. Yeah. Or there's a kind of South Africans in Australia.
Yeah. I mean, all South Africans in Australia carry a...
football at all times.
Yeah, that's
they
right.
play the... Yeah, everyone knows that.
Yeah.
That'll be next minute's episode of Ready Player Fun. I would break down the 91.
Should I watch Chappie? Is it a good movie to watch?
No, it's not a good movie.
What does that dude? He's in District 9.
Did District 9 release him and Chappie? And I thought Chappie had a lot of potential. I mean, a lot of it I love. It's about a childlike robot who... It just becomes too stupid and comedy-ish, which I didn't like. It's like about a guy who builds a robot and they're like the police force. It had a lot of potential. But then Die Ant would play themselves in it and he moves in with them. And they've got posters of themselves on the wall that say their band name. And he becomes a gangster and lives in them. And it just becomes silly. Because,
like Chappie the robot does.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He joins their gang and becomes like a gangster.
Does he make music with them?
No, he's just... And they're like, hey, Chappie, this is our beer. And like make him drink. And so he's like, oh, I'm bad now. And he's wearing chain. It's like really dumb.
Oh, that sucks.
But the potential of it was good. It could have been a Pinocchio. It was like borderline Pinocchio.
Or Astro Boy.
And like Dev Patel's in it. He's awesome. It's like some really good things about it. Hugh Jackman's sick in it. But I just found it didn't know what it was. If it was like a weird parody of sci-fi or it tried to have heart. It was really tonally off.
I wonder what that dude's doing next.
He was rumored to do an Alien sequel, which disavowed 3 onwards.
Right.
Remember? And it was going to be like a sequel to Aliens. Mm-hmm. I think he's doing like a... He recently just got announced...
Blomkamp? Is it?
Yeah, Blomkamp. Blomkamp. He's got a big...
Neil Blomkamp's
Bad Fur Day. He's doing a big franchise thing that's not Alien and not Predator or something. But he's... It's like RoboCop, I think. It might be a sequel to the first RoboCop.
That's right, yeah. He would be directing a new entry in the RoboCop film series.
That, again, it forgets what
tentatively
happened.
Titled RoboCop Returns.
Yeah. It's a sequel to the first RoboCop.
RoboCop Strikes Back with a vengeance on Mega Mountain.
Yeah. High Noon Mountain.
Electric Boogaloo.
Fat Ninjas. No, 3 Ninjas.
Fat Ninjas.
There was a fat one, though.
Fat Ninjas.
Didn't they literally call him like
No, you're
fatty?
Thinking of Chris Farley's Beverly Hills Ninja.
Oh, no, there's a 3 Ninjas and there was a fat one. And they like rip on... He has a name that like just body shames him.
I have a computer in front of me. For like now, whenever we say anything that might not be true, I can check our facts.
Yeah, I don't like this.
This could potentially be the worst episode
of ever.
This could
be the downfall of the podcast.
No, look, don't body shame the 3 Ninjas, Angus.
Literally
they're,
has a name that's
all
like fat.
In shape.
No,
they're exactly the same stature.
There's one called, there's one that likes eating and he's called Tum Tum. There you go. That's rude. Like, let him eat.
I think his name is Tum Tum?
And that ninja went on to become Australia's greatest food critic. He came on to become Guy Fieri.
Oh, yeah, look at him. He's eating a red vine.
They were my favorite traits for characters in movies.
He's a cat person.
When they were just like, what can this person do? Or they like to eat. It's saying like, oh, this person likes seeing. Like, it's such a... It's a survival technique. Like,
this person likes to talk.
It's so strange. Yeah, 3 Ninjas Knuckle Up.
That was such a good
franchise.
I got
a retweet from Hulk Hogan once. I was doing a Twitter commentary for... What's the one? High Noon at Mega Mountain.
Yeah, where they go to the theme park.
And he's in it.
Yep.
Yeah, and I was live tweeting it and tagging him in it. And he got involved and started retweeting my commentaries.
Hell
that
yeah,
was before
brother.
He before. Was caught saying the N-word in a sex tape. So it was like, fine. It was a good endorsement.
You don't know Angus that well, everyone listening, but he doesn't go by BC and AD. He goes, you put your years up for... It's what do you
pre-Gorka,
call it?
Pre-Gorka battle. It was while Gorka was around, and then it's when Gorka got shut down by Hulk Hogan. That's what I now count as like years
B-
ago.
B-H-H-S-T-N-W-I-A-P.
Yeah.
Before Hulk Hogan said the N-word
in a sex tape. Yeah, in a porno. But you know, you can still go to hulkhogan.com, but you can't go to gorka.com. So that's pretty interesting.
Touche.
I mean,
how much money? He got a bunch of money out of that.
Yeah, it was the first of its kind. But it was evil in the end because the dude who backed him was the PayPal guy who's like a big Trump hard on. Bro.
Fuck.
But he was on their side, on Hulk Hogan's side, because Gorka outed him.
You know
which
what
is also
I
pretty
would
shit.
Like? Is a Trump biopic with where Hulk Hogan playing Donald Trump.
Brother. I reckon though, you know, both have been in the WWE. Like it's not far off.
Or maybe it's a buddy comedy with both of them, but they each play each other.
Now we're getting to dangerous territory of my part of the podcast.
You haven't done an episode of Greenlight Boys in a while.
Yeah, I know. You know what's funny? I did another podcast last night, Total Reboot, and they're like, do you want to stick around for our Patreon where we... I'm like, what are you doing the Patreon episodes? And they're like, oh, it's actually like your other podcast. We come up with a movie on the spot. And I'm like, no, like, I'm not giving you guys money, but I'll give the hate. We can take over, but not tonight.
Not tonight. Another time.
Yeah.
Guess what we are doing tonight, Angus?
We're talking so much.
So much.
We're doing 2 episodes.
First of all, we are recording an episode of our Patreon exclusive radio show, Hey FM, tonight.
Yeah. It's exclusive, meaning that if you don't pay for the Patreon, you can't listen to it.
But I'm pretty sure it's very exclusive. Figured that out pretty quickly. Patreon.com/HeyFam is where you head to hear all the episodes of HeyFam that previously exist. We've done episodes all about Kanye. We've done episodes all about Wes Anderson soundtracks. We've done episodes all about video game soundtracks and our favorite songs of last year. And tonight we are going 10 years into the past.
Yeah.
And we are going to be doing an episode all about 2008 and our favorite songs.
10 years ago, some might call it.
Yeah, like me. 10 seconds ago.
Yeah, man, this was hard. 2008 was...
It wasn't as good a year for music as I remember.
I thought it was 2007. I was picking a lot of 2007.
One of my songs came out in 2007, but wasn't released as a single until December 31st, 2007.
So I like that. And you know what? That fits the Hottest 100 cutoff.
Okay, good.
So it does. It's going to be that last month of December up until when voting starts. So
it's also like far and away like my favorite song from that decade. So
is it? Has to do be I know it? It?
It's a Soulja Boy song.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's awesome.
You
what
will
song
know
is
it. Yah, Trick Yah. Do you know that
one? Is your favorite song of that decade?
Like,
is that Levin's hyperbolic claim I can hear?
Everything is. But that when that song comes on, I want to rip my shirt off and punch the air. And no other song from that decade has that effect.
Yeah, right. 2008 was a weird year. And I was pretty uncertain about who I was.
Yeah, well, I think we both at one point worked at the same place. Did you say?
I was 2009.
Oh, right. Okay. Sure.
Yeah,
We're
Eskimo brothers, but we just were there at different times.
On one hand, these shows are about us playing music, but on the other hand, they are an insane amount of extra commentary about our lives.
It's hard. That was
relating
a
to music. So it's going to be a pretty personal episode of HeyFM.
I blocked a lot of 2008 out.
We're going to uncover it. Yeah, we're going to pull these memories back out.
It's going to be tough, man.
I've got some weird music on here because I picked mostly songs that I love, and then a few songs that are like, I can't do a 2008 retrospective without playing a song from this particular artist.
Yeah, right. I went through my iTunes and I got to say the 2008, when I typed in search by year, was like one of the pithiest years. There wasn't a lot going on that year for me in terms of music.
What's crazy is that I got the first laptop that I started backing up in 2008.
Oh, wow.
So I have all my DJ playlists from 2008.
That's crazy.
Still exist.
That's wild.
So yeah, that's what we're doing after this episode. And you can hear what we record over at patreon.com/HeyFam. But in this episode, we're going to be talking about a little movie that came out. Little indie flick. Indie darling, Tom Cruise.
Thomas Mapatha Cruise the Fourth.
Really?
Is his full name.
That's ridiculous.
Mapatha.
The sixth movie.
It's only ridiculous if you want it to be ridiculous.
I mean, it is ridiculous no matter. Like, being the fourth of anything.
Yeah, that means there's three other Thomas Mapatha Cruises out there. Yeah,
it's just lazy parenting.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
The sixth movie.
Okay, George Lucas.
Of the Mission Impossible franchise came out. It's called Mission Impossible Fallout.
That's right. After three, they dropped the numerical signifiers.
Mm-hmm. They're not referring to this as MI6 at any point?
No, it's just Mission Impossible 1 through 3, then Ghost Protocol, Rogue Nation,
okay,
and Fallout. And this is the one, first one ever, which is more or less a direct sequel to the one before.
The fifth one, yeah, sure.
Which you hadn't seen, right?
We'll get into that. Because I thought it would be more fun if I went into it almost.
Yeah, no, that's great. I was just clarifying. You didn't see that one, did you?
As opposed to you who you've pretty much only watched Tom Cruise content for the last month.
Yeah, it was for a good reason too.
Yeah.
I'm going to be making money off that later. we'll talk about that in another episode.
So later in this episode, we'll be doing a spoiler-filled review of Mission Impossible
Yeah, I 6. Saw an early screening and it was kind of too early. And we know some of you get upset when we speak about movies.
Or even the trailers to those movies.
I actually don't care about that one. I don't even care about the other one, but I'm going to be nice about it. The trailer thing's stupid. Like, it's been specifically chosen by the studio that you're okay to see this. It's not a spoiler. On the other hand, so we've given this is kind of like a lot of breathing distance, but I think it's good. I think hindsight is 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And for the review I would give for this movie is 2020 also.
Save something for the review. You spoiled it.
I think that wasn't a spoiler.
Okay. Everyone knew you were going to love it.
Yeah.
But did I love it?
That's the question. I mean, I have been living in Mapatha's world. It's like Bobby's World, the TV show.
That's a sick show that I probably don't ever need to revisit.
I was about to say, it's probably not sick. You probably had a good time watching it as an 8-year-old when you didn't pay taxes.
Would you rather, if we made a bet, which show holds up better, Bobby's World or Boy Meets World?
Boy Meets World.
You reckon that
holds
up better?
It was rebooted recently, and it was one of the sick reboots, as I like to call it, the Force Awakening reboot, where Corey, was it Corey was the lead? The kid? Boy Meets World. Remember. He's the father, and it's about his teenage daughter.
Oh, whoa.
Girl Meets World, it was called. And him and the girl that he loved in it.
Tamaritha.
It's a whack name like that.
Yeah, something like that.
They're her parents.
Tamara.
Which is sick.
Everyone's like, Levins, we know you, they haven't you said you had a laptop in front of you. Why don't you use it? I refuse to.
They haven't released Bobette's World, the remake of Bobby's daughter.
Why are you going to like...
Lorena Bobette, chick that cut off the dick.
Great shit. Yeah. Great shit. So we'll talk about Mission Impossible later on. Also on the...
Nothing but 90s references.
On the small screen, I've been...
I've got a Monica Lewinsky joke soon.
Can't wait. My favorite television show of all time has returned for its seventh season.
Which... Tom Cruise isn't in any TV shows.
Maybe some Tom Cruise jokes. Venture Brothers.
Is he in Tom Cruise? Is Tom Cruise in Venture Brothers?
Yeah, he plays all the characters.
Why haven't I watched it?
You're insane, bro. So Venture Brothers is back. I want to talk about the return of that. And I've also been watching Angus's favorite show of all time, Neon Genesis Evangelion.
It's the best show of all time.
And I think I watched your favorite episode last
night. Not my favorite, but it's a favorite. It's like one of the best episodes. It's, if there was a shitty top 10 list, half the series would be in it because it's a very short series, but this would be in the top 5.
I want to go through an insane amount of games that I've been playing or have purchased or been given recently, just to show you how many amazing games are on. I don't know what's wrong with my voice today.
It's
I had too many hot sauce with dinner.
Yeah, you got water. I mean, it's fine. Part of the charm of Hey Fam is your cough. There's a lot of coughing on Hey Fam. It's like you're the Kevin Smith. You know how you always hear him weed up.
Yeah, like lighting
you're
up
the
a
aftermath
joint.
Of that. You're like the reality.
What's more annoying, me clearing my throat every 30 seconds or him lighting up a joint every?
Definitely
5 minutes.
Him lighting up because he's just like, gets dumber each time.
You can't even pass that on the right hand side through a podcast.
And then you start telling me to stop working in porn. That I'm better than that every time you cough.
Angus has also recently finished God of War.
Yeah, we're just like doing old stuff now. We're talking about shows from 20 years ago, games that came out.
And a movie that came out a week and a half ago.
Yeah, I thought it came out ages ago.
You saw a very early screening, so it must feel like that.
Yeah, and also that you meant that, as we know, that's a good sign when there's an early screening.
Because we intended to talk about it last week, but it hadn't been released in Australia yet.
Or maybe it was the day of.
Right.
Yeah.
Also, we have a new special guest. I bought a HomePod recently.
The
so,
future's
Hey Siri, say hello.
Hello.
That was actually good.
That was good, Siri. Thanks. You passed the test.
She's a better host than us. She enunciates. No coughing.
Hey, Siri, enjoy your morning.
That's my one now.
Okay. She doesn't want to enjoy your morning.
Yeah. She said, I'm here. Drop a pic and say, I'm here. Here, she's great.
She's off the hook. So I got a HomePod. I think it's the first Apple product that I've bought before you.
Yeah, my dad as well. I'm getting roasted by both my mans out here. You're both just like talking to robots in the house. Here's me, an intellectual, just like literally scrolling through a playlist and hitting play and connecting wirelessly to a speaker.
So I was given a Sonos speaker for some work I did like a year and a half ago. And I had that set up for last year and it's like pretty good. It's a good quality speaker.
Where
but
is it now?
It's in a box in my cupboard.
You should sell that.
I'm going to.
That's wise.
Man, the UI is so bad on a Sonos speaker. It takes so long to set up. They make you like pull your iPhone out and wave it around the room to tune the speaker to your room.
That's really weird.
So the setup process for a Sonos speaker is about half an hour.
You're kidding.
No.
Wow.
And also, I have a lot of music on my laptop and it wants to scan through all the music on the laptop.
Yeah, sure.
So you can play from it. But it stopped at W because there's too many songs on my laptop.
And really? So it can only take a certain library and size?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So stupid.
That's weird.
Yeah. And it got really irritating because my iOS updated and I could no longer change the song on the Sonos or even just hit next or whatever through my watch or through.
Yeah, you had to go through a Sonos.
Yeah, to actually open up the app. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And it was just like,
that's shit.
Yeah. Whereas I don't even need to like use a controller for this HomePod.
Just speak, baby.
Just talk to it. It'd be like, hey Siri, play John Cougar Mellencamp.
Sure. Here's a personalized station of John Mellencamp.
Personalized? Yeah, now it's playing. I don't know. It's
like we're at the sports
exactly.
bar.
Exactly. Let's just leave it on in the background. People can guess what it's playing. No, it's not. Hey, Siri, stop. Yeah. Anyway, it's a great purchase.
Yeah. And you got kids who the last thing you want to teach kids is how to use a thing properly. You know what I mean? Like, let's get them ready for the future. You should never let them speak to a driver of a car, because you know everyone, they're going to have autonomous drivers.
Yes, I have both kids, the 2-year-old and the 4-year-old, Tilly and Archie, both yelling Siri, hey Siri, etc. in the house at
it's
all
so
times.
It's so good. It's not annoying. It's
and,
cute.
Archie can make it work. Tilly doesn't really say sentences
it's
yet.
So she can't do the R's yet.
It just
kind
of goes like, dude, dude. And then like, sorry, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Damn,
like,
yeah. Siri getting roasted by Tilly. I mean, yeah, Tilly getting roasted by Siri.
It's inspired some bizarre conversations from Archie. He asked B the other day, Mummy, where does Siri live?
That's huge. What did you say? What did she say?
I don't know. Hey, B. We're recording at my house tonight. Rare opportunity to ask my wife questions. What did Archie say when you asked him, when he asked you, where does Siri live?
I said something like, I tried to explain that Siri wasn't really real. And I was kind of like, oh, she's not real. She lives. And then I was like, I'm not going to try and explain the internet. And then he kind of just thought for a minute and didn't say anything. Then he said, oh, but I want to meet her. Yeah.
Yeah. So much better response than when I told him that the purple and yellow wiggle got divorced last week.
You said that what? Oh, yeah, the Wiggles. Yeah, Jeff wouldn't have done that.
Thanks, B. Your first ever appearance on Hey Fam, I think.
I don't think so. She's been on it before.
Okay. When?
Last time we recorded here.
Okay. What do we make her say?
I don't know. She said it, though.
Yeah, I told Archie that...
the Wiggles split up?
Yeah, Emma and Lucky Wiggle, who did, they got a divorce.
Yeah,
and,
back
and
when I like...
I said, they're not married anymore. And he got so upset. And B had to like sort everything out. It was no good.
Well, like... You know, back in the day, you could enjoy the Wiggles and not worry about them breaking up, you know? And even if they did, they wouldn't do a press release.
So you're saying there shouldn't be women in the Wiggles?
No, I'm saying they should all be women. that's what I've been saying that for 20 years now.
Also, the other day, Archie goes, hey.
You know this, don't dip the pen in the company ink.
Is that a euphemism?
Yeah, it's like, don't fuck people you work with.
Oh, right. It is a euphemism. It's legitimately.
It's legitimately.
Is it a bit?
No, I'm just like, don't do it. Like, look at they made a kid cry.
Yeah, totally.
No, they probably
I reckon hundreds of children around the world learnt what divorce is the other night.
This is wild.
Because of the Wiggles.
Don't dip a pen in the company ink, boys.
Yep, that should be the Wiggles' next single.
Just do Rogue Trading instead. just Boiler Room at Vin Diesel style. Have you seen Boiler Room?
I don't think so.
Yeah. He's good in it. Good. It's a good movie.
The other day... Archie was like, hey, can we tell Siri to turn the TV on? And I was like, no.
Not yet.
And Archie goes, aw.
Well, you can.
like we got this use.
You need to get a special plug for your TV and it's got to be connected.
Yeah, and then the sound plays out through the HomePod speaker.
I don't think so. You can just, you know, there's a home app on your phone.
Yeah.
So what you do, you've got to get those expensive ass plugs that are like...
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and then you fire up the home app and you link everything. So it's like, hey, Siri, turn on the lights. And she'll turn on the lights.
You've spoken to her now. She's going to have something.
My
to
friend's
say.
Done it.
It looks like you haven't set up any home.
Yeah, I know, Siri. I know. You're doing a great job.
We're roasting you, me and Siri.
Okay. The home map. Siri, stop.
But we're leaving his house and he said it. Because we're going somewhere and I was like, oh man, all your lights are on. Like a fucking peasant. And he's like, no, don't worry. He's like, hey, and I'm not going to say the name because it's going to pick up. Can you turn off the TV and all the lights? And it just went, like, didn't say anything.
How many comms did you do when that happened?
Infinity War.
It's still coming.
Yeah, I'm still with it. Yeah, I'm still coming. Conker's Bad Fur Day. I'm rebooting Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Angus, let's talk about video games.
Hell yeah.
You finished God of War.
Yeah, I finished the game, God of War.
Last week.
I was like, it's pretty good.
Yeah, you were like 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
And
I'm going to bump it up to a 9 now.
Wow.
Yeah, there's still some things which bothered me a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly to do with certain controls, like I said, I got spoiled a lot with Breath of the Wild, which is a terrible thing to always like the curse of a great game.
Yep.
But also it's a game in a market that you've decided to release another game in. So it's pretty, I can't help but compare it to something else that's really affected me.
Sure.
It was a great game. The ending was great. I love the intimacy. It went on paths I didn't expect, which was great. It was a lot of, I think I was expecting a bigger game and I'm not sure if it's because I heard comments or something, but it's really interesting that like, this isn't a critique. It was parts of it were anticlimactic, and I enjoyed that. Like, you didn't go to this big world full of giants and have a huge battle. You had the battle. You were getting stopped going there and had a huge fight.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And it was anticlimactic in a sense, but wasn't.
Mm.
There was a lot of bait and switches, which made things kind of anticlimactic, but I was never, not in a negative sense.
Did you enjoy the storytelling?
I mean, everything sounds the same. Every god and every realm and everything sounds awfully familiar to me. And I had a lot of trouble following, like, the stories. Like, they're like, Nyanya came to Mlanya, and then my eyes came out.
I meant overall.
Oh, yeah, the game itself, the story is beautiful. Yeah, but I mean, like, I'm reading a book at the moment, Neil Gaiman, doing the Norse mythology. Fuck, it's hard. The book isn't hard, but the names, they're all the same. It's all Nyanya.
Lots of J's.
Something Heim and Elfenheim and Melfenfein. And you're like, what's the difference?
I've read
World, like Mario style. Just go like, Fire World, Ice World.
Piranha Plant.
Piranha Plant, underwater level. Air Fortress.
Kratos teaches typing.
Seriously, Air Fortress level. Just it's going to make it so much easier for me to read.
Yeah.
It's like, I get it. It's a thing that happened, that language. But a bit disappointing, the Nordic language. They could have called things other names.
So this is my favorite review since you reviewed the font of Golf Story.
Yeah.
Just you reviewing
like Nordic
the language in
Norse. Like a beautiful language that's developed over millennia. I'm just like, a lot of stuff did sound the same. You know what I mean? Like, different names, spread them out. Jeff.
Call everyone Jeff.
Aaron. They just have different names. They're all so similar. They're like Nuna and Elf and Nine. And like, I didn't, every time I was in a boat with that fucking head.
Oh, see, I love those. I love that.
Well, I didn't know what was going on. All the stories were the same. And the names are all the same. And I just couldn't get attached. I wanted some graph, like at least give me a diagram.
Do you have the text?
Yeah, but another thing, the hub and stuff and everything was so small that I had a problem seeing it.
Maybe your TV sucks.
No, my TV's fine. It's just not that big.
Right.
It's not a super big TV.
So it sucks.
It doesn't suck. I mean, it's the next size down from yours.
Yeah, which mine is like officially like borderline suck.
Yeah, maybe it's the same. I can't tell.
No, it's bigger.
Yeah, yours is slightly bigger.
Every time I go to your house, I measure it.
Yeah, you do. When I go to the toilet, yeah. You're just still checking. Yeah, I, you know, whatever. That's a dumb thing. I mean, me critiquing the font, the size is dumb. I accept that, but not the language. I'm still going to stand by that one. Everything sounded the same. The best thing about the Thor version of Nordic gods, like, it's very visual. And like, imagine the Thor movies being Stan Lee's decapitated head describing Thor to you. And that's what I found all those boat scenes like. Like, I wasn't into it. It was just boring. Like, I need the action.
Good would that be if that's like
his next cameo?
Like, he's in the Spider-Man game. It's just a decapitated head.
Kill myself.
Yeah. Okay, well, true believers. Like,
at least they have Caucasian.
Let me tell you the time Electro tried to rob a bank.
I just found it boring. I found it annoying. Like, I like quiet moments in games. And this fucking, like, Billy Connolly light stand-up dude was telling me shit stories. And I actually found it really distracting.
He's, like, legit, like, what's his name? Mjolnir?
I don't know, because they all sound the same.
He's, like, one of my favorite characters in video games this year.
Really?
Yeah,
He was annoying. He wouldn't shut up. I think, like, the best parts of, like, other games are just the quiet moments. Because then you go, oh, it's really quiet.
I love this game. Like, you know, it just gave you something to pay attention to, even when you were like traversing big open spaces.
It annoyed the shit out of me.
That's so funny.
I hated that dude talking. He wouldn't shut up.
To the point where like I would get to a destination and he'd be like, you know, mid story. And I'd be like, oh, I'm just going to wait around.
I'd be putting it on mute. I'd be like parking to get out quicker. Like, he was annoying me. Seriously. He was a shit character.
Yeah, wow. So I can see like if you didn't like that, I can totally see why that game wasn't like for me, like that was just like so good.
No, it was a lot of telling and I'm a fan of like showing the story. It was a lot of like, here's why something's important.
I guess
it was like director's commentary.
Yeah, I expect that level of like scripted dialogue from a PlayStation game. So
no, think of Last of Us and stuff. There's some so parts which are quiet so moments. Quiet. They're just, you're kidding me. There's a lot of quiet moments in that game where the characters aren't constantly being like, there's a zombie around here and they became zombies because of this thing that got in their blood cells. And it's just like, no one cares. Like, let us discover that throughout the game. Like, it was just telling me too much. And like, well, this guy's brother and you got to not like him. And I was like, let me figure that out. I just found it was a lot of telling.
Sure.
It was like a bit ham-fisted to get the story across. I found to get
those particular little stories across. The extra.
Yeah, but they all added to the overall world. I'd rather be shown in other ways.
Well, you kind of did. You discover those big tomes and
yeah, that was cool. Yeah, that was nice and was sparingly done. But when it was like any time you weren't playing the game or traversing, yeah, it was just here's a story, and I was like, it's actually adding nothing to the game for me.
Yeah, right. I loved it.
I that was one thing I didn't like, that fucking head. And I'm not going to say his name.
Mimir.
Just like I'm never using certain fonts. It sounds like a meme cat. Mimir? It sounds like a shit thing that someone makes and then makes a t-shirt out of. Like real 2008 internet, Taizonde style, you know, like really getting behind a dumb meme.
So is God of War in your top three games you've played so far this year?
It could be. I've just got to remember the other two.
Celeste, Owlboy.
Owlboy's probably not my top two. Three. Maybe it is. I don't know.
Far Cry?
I had so much fun that I never thought I'd have with fun. Yeah, I'd put God of War in there, I think. When did other games come out?
I've gotten so many games in the last
Yeah, you
two
and
weeks.
I have polar opposites at the moment of not only enjoying Headless Scotsman, but the amount of games we have on Nintendo Switches. Like I'm at a gentleman's 30 or something.
Yeah, you counted just before we hit record. I have 150 games on my Switch.
Literally
now.
150 games.
Just to go through.
How does that make you feel?
Feels great. I mean, I wish there was more time in the world to play them. But I've been playing a lot of Iconoclasts, which came out last week. Last week.
Metroidvania, like.
Yep, 100%. I would say.
This is the last two months of Switch games.
80 of the 150 games would be Metroidvanias, I reckon.
Yeah, it seems to be a real thing. And is it going to be a bubble burst? Like, are people just going to get sick of Metroidvanias?
I don't know.
Or are the good ones really easy to separate from the bad
ones? Yeah, I haven't played a bad one. But I know the thing about
I don't think I've played one on
a lot
Switch.
Of these. You played Steam. Oh, you didn't play Steam or Dig, did you?
No.
Nah, damn.
Is that a Metroidvania?
Yeah, that's a exceptionally good one. And Hollow Knight as well. They're probably like the top two on there.
I know like Dead Cells is a poppin' one, which
I've got that.
So good that you'd plagiarize a review over and get fired. So what happened there?
Let me read out my review.
Yeah.
I haven't played the game yet. Yeah.
So it was like word for word. It was word for word, wasn't it?
No. There was like Angus is referring to a guy from IGN who plagiarized a small YouTuber review of the game Dead Cells, but like it was like very, very, it was structured the same way. Every paragraph mentioned the same things that the other review did. And then there were like a lot of phrases and like
that you ran through a thesaurus or something and it was just like, how do I say
not even it was just like rearranged sentences.
You'd run it through a thesaurus
and someone found like an example of one of his other reviews doing that too.
He was fired
from the fire.
Was he like
he's
one
been
of the
fired
main
from
reviewers?
IGN. He was like the host of Nintendo Voice Chat,
so he's gone.
Relatively new, and like he came on board. I like that. That's one of my favorite podcasts, or it used to be.
You got James Gunn.
No,
I'm joking.
He didn't plagiarize 10 years ago.
Yeah. He didn't apologize for plagiarizing 10 years ago.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was like just the classic case of like, oh, you know, he's not as good as the old host. I'll keep giving him a chance. And like, I really gave him so many chances, but I was like, oh, I want to like this guy, but
now you got a reason not to.
Yeah.
Bro, now you got to adopt my motto. Trust no one. You know that. I don't trust anyone. I don't trust you.
Tattooed on it's what your tramp stamp says.
Yeah, I don't trust you. It's weird I show up to do this every week. I don't trust you.
So Iconoclast is awesome. It's like made by one dude. And I have so much like respect for like I'll never make a game. I'll never be on a team that makes a game.
It's because you're a well-rounded person.
But when someone is able to make one all by themselves, people. Like they spend 10 years making a fucking incredible,
it's a bit depressing, isn't
weird
it?
Game. Do you think that's amazing?
It's okay. I don't know, maybe rally some troops together. Just go outside, talk to somebody, get two people working on it, come out in 5 years.
Like this feels like we've swapped this because I feel like you're being sensible and I'm being like, no, they should lock themselves in their room for a decade and work
on this.
But
maybe, did he really make it by himself the whole game?
Yeah.
Yeah, that happened with Owlboy too.
And Cave Story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they have like, you know, people.
I hope so. I'd like the history of like the commerce chamber to show me who was working on these teams at the time.
His name's Konjac. But yeah, the story is like bonkers. It's like one of the coolest.
It looks cool. I've seen some videos kind of and stories. Stuff of it.
It's like all about like religious cults and
so Evangelion.
Yeah, but this is really, really sick.
Yeah.
And then I just got a bunch of really good, you know, the developers, Devolver Digital.
Yeah, I know their name.
So they're having like
Mulva.
They're doing
a Seinfeld joke. Dolores Digital.
Their biggest game is like Enter the Gungeon.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
And they're having like, it's called the Summer of Devolver, and so they're putting out like six games on the Switch over summer. The last one they're putting out is called The Messenger, which is one of the
minis. It was a surgical summer originally. Did you know that? Pusha T called it Surgical Summer.
Oh, that's right. It's not that anymore.
So it's not Surgical Summer anymore? What was it now?
Summer of Devolver, I guess.
Does Pusha T, is he going to diss Devolver? Does Devolver have a kid?
Or old photos of them in blackface?
Yes, yeah, there's like star photo 2016 yeah. And they're all in black. And like, no, we were acting. What game have they got?
Well, they've got Minute coming out this week.
I'm going to get that. Before.
It's really, really good.
And I was waiting for that because it was on a PS4. And
yeah, yeah. I played on PS4. It's like basically the
PS4 hurts my eyes.
The gimmick is...
you die every minute, right?
Yeah, every minute you die. And then you respawn it where,
it's kind of how I feel.
You are saved.
I'm going to have a lot of fun with this one. Every minute someone disappoints me to the point where I'm dead, basically.
The graphic style is really simple and sweet.
It looks like Link's Awakening, doesn't it?
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
it's like black and white, Link's Awakening.
It's like a Zelda adventure, except you die every minute and have to...
Frustrating?
No, it's really fun.
They do it in a way where
you'll
it's
probably hate it.
No, I think I like it.
Okay,
now.
Good. Yeah. You're like, I love dying. But they recently
Donnie
put out
Darko song.
Not a Hero and Crossing Souls.
Oh, what's Not like, a Hero?
Not a Hero. Is
oh,
like
I saw
a,
that. Yeah,
yeah. It's a really, really colorful, 8-bit, 16-bit shooter.
Crossing Souls are top down.
Like, yeah, 80s, like a, set in the 80s.
Yeah, that looks fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing both of those.
Yeah, so they're all by Devolver.
Yep. And they've also got The Messenger coming, and they're putting out Broforce. Did you ever play Broforce?
Yeah, it's like, I did.
You'd
on
love
PS4.
That. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And you like crazy characters. You like Ash from Evil Dead. You do with chainsaw.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And you come back as different people each time. Yeah, yeah. We played that on PS4.
Yeah,
so, in my old house.
It'd be so good.
Two
to play
players
on.
And shit.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. We played it. Yeah,
be
yeah.
Super good to play on Switch as well. I reckon it's a perfect Switch.
Surgical.
For Surgical Summer. That's a
hot, I wish we did collect. Can we? It's our winter.
It's our winter. So
can we got to come up. We got a few months to come up. We're going to call it something.
Why don't we call winter something?
Yeah.
Woke winter.
Wrong podcast. not my podcast.
Overcooked 2 just came out.
Yeah, man. I'm looking forward to playing that. I got really hungry the last time I played it. Seriously. I got really hungry. We ordered pizza at someone's house.
That's so good.
We're hungry. We're playing. And I'm like, can we, like, I'm sick of making
food.
Then
the pizza came over and you lit it on fire. And
then I threw it at somebody.
Yeah, perfect.
I put it on a conveyor belt.
And broke up with your partner.
Yeah, it was good fun.
I find that game so stressful.
It's stressful as hell.
But I keep hearing people talk about their experiences with the sequel. And it just sounds like they've added so much incredible depth and craziness to this.
Which is crazy.
Like, you will be playing, let's say you start the level and you're a catering team.
Yeah.
Work. It's a co-op game where basically you have to cook,
yeah.
Right? And so your catering
team. It's
about
divvying up duties and owning them and being
exactly.
Like,
exactly, and communicating in the real world.
Yeah.
So you can then communicate in the game.
So I find online would be so hard.
I guess with a headset.
Oh, yeah. Any other console.
Yeah.
It's easy. Switch is going to be real hard.
But then, yeah, you your catering team is on a hot air balloon. So you are in the air.
And then you drop and stuff.
And then the hot air balloon catches fire and drops. And then suddenly, apparently, so you'll be cooking like pizza or hot dogs or something at the side of the level. Then you'll get dropped and then you land in a sushi restaurant. So now you have to make sushi.
Yeah, it's wild.
It's so fucking cool and weird.
That's so sick.
So I'm really looking forward to giving that a better shot.
Yeah, again, I'm gonna hit that.
Dead Cells, getting a lot of hype at the moment. Lots of amazing reviews. It's like a Metroidvania roguelike.
That's so weird for the Switch to have an independently developed Metroidvania roguelike. It's very strange. I can't believe they did it. It's a very brave decision.
but man, I don't know. It looks really good. People are comparing it to like being more like Castlevania than Metroid, even though you shoot a lot. The mechanics are similar to Castlevania. They're so well suited to Switch these. I know it's hilarious how many of them there are, but
there are a lot. The Switch is basically, it can be a AAA machine or like Steam games from 6 months ago in your hand. Like that's pretty much what the, and that's not a diss.
No,
that seems to be what the Switch
is. It's so good. I just think portably these games lend it so well. What else have I got? Semblance, which is like a platform game where you actually like modify the platforms. So that you like, if you need to get higher, you stomp on the ground and then as you move part of the ground lower, the other ground gets higher. So then you can reach higher levels. What else have I got there? You got Code of Princess, extremely boob sliders right up.
Oh yeah, I saw that one. It's like a 3DS game, right?
Yeah, Nicholas put it out.
Good on them.
Be fun.
Back on there, but is it good?
Oh yeah, man, Nicholas is like such a good publisher.
No, I mean, I know they're good, but I mean, is the game good?
I haven't played it yet, but it's like a, you know, like an RPG fighter.
Sure.
Beat him
up. I'm just playing. I'm just still Octopathing at the moment.
Yeah, so I'm like,
you know,
yeah.
Me, I'm taking my time with games.
Yeah,
like a fine wine. I'm more mature now than you, and so I drink whiskey over the course of a few years. I'll enjoy a bottle.
I think, yeah, Octopath is going to be one that I'm going to chip away at. I reckon I'll hopefully finish it by the end of the year. But yeah. It's not. I like playing a chapter. And yeah. then going
it's
and
very good at
that.
It's very yeah. good at doing a chapter. I'm just really looking at this sound. I'll get trashed because I've like only played like I haven't done everybody's first chapter yet. And I just can't wait to get them out of the way.
Yeah, I've done everyone's.
I'm doing
first
the introductions,
chapter, yeah.
And I'm just like, yeah, I've done one. That, and you spend about if you watch everything and read every bit of dialogue, it takes like 60 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm like six in.
It's cool. I couldn't play more than 2 hours at a time of that game. It's just not my kind of game. I get over that kind of gameplay pretty quickly, and I need to be a 16-bit cube jumping over.
This guy loves indie
8-bit
games.
8-bit lava.
It's what's true. Yeah, so that's fun.
Conga Master Party, pretty fun. It's like the Conga dancing.
How many
game.
Of these games?
Look, there are a lot on there that I haven't played yet.
Yeah, I haven't played. Right. I heard Pool Panic wasn't great.
I played like yeah. I reviewed this in the latest episode of All the Small Games, which is all indie games all the time. It's fun, but I'm a bit of a completionist.
Yeah.
So at the end, it rates you, and you have to like. It'll be like, did you sink all the holes? Did you sink all the balls in the holes?
Did you drop all the picks?
Did you do it in this particular time
frame?
Did you not sink the white ball? And I don't know, something else. And if it's really, really hard and it doesn't really communicate how to do certain things within each level. And I just think it would drive me insane to try and hit the achievements on all of them. So to play it, I have to get rid of that part of my brain and just enjoy it as like a goofy pool game.
Is it okay?
It looks awesome, but it just, I need to lose my...
Did you finish Sushi Striker?
I'm pretty far into it. It's good. Yeah. That's another great game just to always have on me at all times and play a little bit at a time. All kinds of good games.
That's good. Look, that wraps up Games Talk.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm going to get back into it because I was 5 minutes. I missed the first 5 minutes of Mission Impossible this morning.
You're kidding.
Because I was playing the new WarioWare Gold game for 3DS.
You're kidding. You missed the start. You dumb cunt. That's so disrespectful. You can buy that. It wasn't like it's selling out.
It is.
But you could have got it after the movie. That's so disrespectful. Man, I would have asked you to leave.
Really? If you were Tom Cruise?
No, if I was in the cinema, I would just be like, you get out. You missed the start. Like, it's like, please, come in halfway through and have a worse experience.
Well, when we talk about that movie, I'll find out how much of the movie I missed.
Yeah. This is some Last Jedi shit right now. This is crazy, man.
I hate cinema.
It's so weird. Why would you go buy like that 3DS game before? Why couldn't you go afterwards?
No, I thought I had heaps of time. Normally, it's like half an hour of previews.
Previews are the best.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they're awesome.
I don't want to like know about. I don't know about the local specials.
I love to know them. I love to meet my local pharmacist. I love to know what's out there. It's very classist that you don't do this. You got to be friendlier. It's good. It's a good, basically like a town hall experience going to the cinema these days.
I prefer to watch television.
Yeah, well, look, like, we will see how that turned out.
Television like The Venture Brothers.
I like to watch the CW shows. I don't know why we're laughing for another reason.
No, you were like,
I don't watch CW shows.
I find it so funny that people seem so invested in the fact that they exist, and I know so few people that actually watch them.
Same. I tell you why, because we don't hang out with teenagers.
And that's cool. Like, yeah, if I was a teen,
I'd love it.
Yeah,
yeah, but
that's cool, and that was airing on like Channel 10 at 9:30.
Yeah, but if you're in your mid 20s, you're trying to add me on Facebook, and your cover photo is like the cast of a CW superhero show, I'm not accepting your friendship, and that's just a line I'm not willing to cross. And this
ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yeah, I won't do that. I won't do. Would you do that? Some motherfucker coming.
Well, I'm definitely making my
the balls my on you coming
I'm
up.
I'm going to do that right
you
now.
You make it like the arrow.
What's the worst of them? Leagues of Legends of Tomorrow?
Yeah, I was reading some descriptions of them the other day, which is great. Like, everyone who loves them hates me right now, but everyone was basically, by the third season, it gets really good. I'm like, who's got the time to watch?
I mean, look, I can't talk. I love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and that is, by definition, a bad show until
it's
halfway through
Marvel
the first,
basically
first
said it's a CW show.
I know, right? But I love it. Like, I get it. It's one of those things, like, where...
I'm not dissing. I reckon I'm just being mean. I'm being dumb. Like, watch whatever you want.
I reckon... we would cringe our way through like half a season, and then we'd just be hooked, and then it would just be this thing that we know isn't that good, but we love.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that people like actively like hate what Arrow has become.
What has it become? Like,
and the flat, like, because my problem with CW shows is like they're soap operas first and foremost with like a little bit of,
well, they have to be because the budget only makes them be that. Like, they can't be fuck off superhero.
No, but like
movies.
The dramatic stuff is so over the top.
Oh, totally. And, yeah. I mean, they're not A grade actors because they're in movies.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean? It's like it can only be a certain thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm knocking a shit I haven't seen before, and I actually don't care.
You've never watched like 1 second of a CW show?
I watched
show.
Season one of The Arrow.
A whole season?
But I watched maybe 8 episodes.
Well, that's actually more than one. I've watched like 5 episodes of Arrow.
I watched 8 and I was just like,
I watched up to the Deadshot episode of Arrow, and I loved that character at that point, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, I was just like, it was lame.
Yeah.
It was just like, I can watch Batman Begins, and it was a much better version of what the story was trying to do, because it was cutting through him being like arrested and all that shit and whatever. And so I just found the guy's a knob.
Like, and like 3 minutes per episode teasing Deathstroke.
Yeah, and like, oh, he got a green shirt. That will probably be part of his outfit you see in season 5. I'm like, I'm not hanging around for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm like, woe me now. Woo me now, rather, in season 1.
I also find it's like one of those, it's like a perfect example of like a show that about superheroes watched by people that don't read comics about superheroes. And I'm
for sure.
It's like, man, read the comics. They're so much better.
Yeah, it's easier.
Yeah. Like I my sister loves Riverdale, and I think Riverdale is almost like an exception to the rule because it's so far removed from an Archie comic.
Yeah, it's like Archie Fox. That's the difference now, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're all gay and they all have sex. They're all fluid. It's awesome.
No, they're not though.
Isn't Jughead fluid in the show?
No, in the comics he's asexual.
I thought he was in the show.
Well, he's very sexual in the show. That sucks.
But I think he's fluid.
Right.
I think he's like any team.
In my Jughead only wants to fuck burgers.
Yeah, you know, a crown of thorns. Is he really asexual? Maybe probably fucks burgers.
Yeah, well, and there's a great comic that Ryan North wrote, and it's he Chuck. Falls in love with the like someone in a hamburger costume handing out
that's so wild
coupons
that's like
for a burger
furry shit. So he's a furry.
No, he's a burgery.
Yeah, but I mean, someone dressed
he's
up
a
as a burger.
He's
like
a bunny.
He knew it wasn't a burger, right?
He's a patty.
He appreciated the fact a human could resemble a burger.
I think he was like, I think he, I don't know, it was like he someone made the decision to be a burger, and that was really, really alluring to him.
My man's out here wearing a crown trying to fuck this burg. Jughead is a cool character.
He's a very, very good character when handled right. I don't know
I know nothing about him except what you just told me then, and I'm just declaring him cooler than Batman.
Official Batman.
Wired, no, tired Batman, wired Jughead, fucking burgers. Nah, Batman's the best.
Venture Batman Brothers.
I've only ever read the 6th issues where Jim Gordon was Batman. I'm assuming that's what the whole series is like, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's
just
like that. It's about a robot cop.
Old decrepit robot.
It's Robocop.
Yeah.
Were they good? I didn't read those.
I didn't either.
Yeah, right.
I thought that some of the designs were cool. Capullo's a good artist.
Yeah, Capullo rules. I love his Batman art. He doesn't do it anymore, does he? No, he still does stuff with Snyder. They're like a...
They just did a really ridiculous
Justice
over the
League?
Top. It was called DC Dark Knights Metal.
Oh, that's right. It was like 1,000 Batmans.
Like, yeah, you put on fucking Judas Priest and you just read these comics, bro.
That's cool. It's good to see comics have advanced from the 80s.
Yep. Yeah, so Venture Brothers. Tried to bring this up a few times.
The guy at work who listens to Hey Fam was like, dude, start watching Venture Brother. It was like literally after we did the last episode.
Yeah.
Shout outs to Sweet Baby Gerbs.
So it is a show that started in 2004 on Adult Swim. And when it started, it was
not adults, and now we are adults, and we still can swim.
Yep, very true.
That's how much time has passed.
It's like riding a bike.
It is. You always forget.
You do it in the water.
You fuck the burger. You're in the water with me.
And it was, when it started, it was like a parody of like Johnny Quest.
Yeah. I've seen season one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool. So it gets incredibly... I mean, I know we just hung shit on CW shows between this. I feel like all shows, shows are better than their first season. What shows aren't? Bored to Death.
Recent Simpsons.
Oh, true.
I'd rather watch season one over and over than the last... How many seasons are there at Simpsons? 20-something?
30. Oh, yeah, they definitely
hit 30. The last 22. Mm. I'd rather watch season one.
But... Yeah, Venture Brothers, it kind of...
They're a dysfunctional family.
Well, then, yeah, it's like...
No, that was The Simpsons.
It's yeah. it's now about Rusty Venture, who is like a failed one-time boy adventurer whose father was a super scientist. And he has two boys who are raised...
without a mother.
Without a mother, but with a bodyguard. Yep. His name is Brock Sampson.
Who is television's Patrick Warburton. Actor, Patrick Warburton. Yeah. You might know him as The Tick from The Tick live action series, not starring Peter Serafinowicz, and also as Dave Putty.
Yes.
From the Larry David produced series up until the last two seasons, Seinfeld.
He was also in the most recent season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
He was in the first 5 minutes of Mission Impossible Fallout, but you wouldn't know that.
Really?
No. Well, maybe. You will never know. You haven't seen it. The first 5 minutes is Tom Cruise plays a Metroidvania on his Switch and says it's really a good system for it.
And then plagiarizes a review of Dead Cells. And then
David Putty comes in and yeah, it's awesome. And then the movies, then they're like, all right, let's do the mission. And then you miss the best part. It's him talking about indie games on Switch. It's really good.
But yeah, so that like basically it's this is run by like pretty much all the scripts are written by the same two guys who also do like majority of the voices on the show. So this, we're lucky if we get a season every two, maybe even 3 years.
Sounds like a little show about another scientist and boy duo I know. No, I'm joking.
What's that?
Rick and Morty, baby.
Oh, no.
Two voice actors about old man that's angry on the science. Is it the same show as Rick and Morty?
It's the prequel to Rick and Morty.
It's Rick and Morty. It's the Better Call Saul to Rick and Morty.
You need an even higher IQ to appreciate the Venture Brothers.
That's crazy.
But the last season...
Can we get much higher?
Can we hit 50? the last season, they all moved to New York. And so it's kind of set in New York now. It frequently does
they
like...
They age, don't they?
Yes.
Which I know that's a big part of it.
And they frequently kind of like... do parodies of like comic book tropes, but also I like have massive love for like glam rock and David Bowie, so there's heaps of music references within it as well. It's just I adore this show so much. I love every character.
It has a special place in your heart, and I understand that.
And every time it's something so special when a new episode comes out, because it feels so rare, and like I'm like oh my god, I can't believe I'm watching
how do you watch
Adventure
it?
Brothers. I downloaded it illegally and watch it on my television from a USB.
That's awesome.
There's no other way to watch the new series. If you want to catch up though,
what are you doing, TV networks? Like, fix your shit up. Like, we're willing to pay a sensible price to watch shows.
I think if you pay for Anime Lab, you can stream all the older seasons.
Yeah, you can.
Or you can buy them all. They're all like $14 Australian to buy on the iTunes store.
Yeah, right.
There was a $65 box set of every season of Venture Brothers thus
Standard
far.
Standard definition, though.
Yeah, it's DVD.
The only... I only do things highly defined.
Those rays need to be blue.
Seriously.
But yeah, I'm a bit nervous when I'm watching these. You know,
yeah,
what,
no,
what
I
if
it. It's like when I build see a Star Wars movie.
I build it up. Yeah, So I'm more excited for an episode of Venture Brothers than I am for a new Star Wars movie.
Yeah, that's
to put
things
in context.
That's fine.
The one
is a huge cinematic event. The other's a show you watch on a USB stick.
If you watched it, you would understand it. It is. Like,
I would, but I'm just like, let's not call.
It's my personal. I'm not saying one's better than the other.
I know. I'm just being a prick. I'm being a defensive Star Wars prick.
It's a shit franchise, Angus. Everyone knows it.
Venture Brothers.
But yeah, so the most recent season 7, started with the first episode, which was this like crazy episode that managed to bring back a bunch of characters that weren't in the last season at all. Like, it sounds like I'm describing an anime. That's how many like layers of different characters.
It's good
and, you know, and it was just. It expertly like divvied them up across these different like A, B, C, and D plots. This is like a 21 minute show, ended on a cliffhanger, and I actually think it was better than every episode from last season.
It's a big call, but one I can't argue with you because I haven't seen any of them.
So I was just going to say, like, it made me extremely happy.
Yeah, it's back, baby.
It's back, and it's back. I think we get, I don't know how many episodes this season is, but hopefully at least 8.
What's it on, Adult Swim?
Yep, Adult Swim. If you live in America, you can watch it however the fuck you want because it's everywhere.
That's cool.
In Australia, it's a bit harder, especially when I watch the new ones.
So shit. Like, we have the worst thing. Like, but I feel bad for like Game of Thrones fans because, you know, like, the only way you can watch it is by signing up to a particular cable thing here. You can't.
Which I get for free now.
So which you get for free, but you got to get an app and then you got to, like,
yeah,
you can't just leave an app on the.
They don't have an Apple TV app. Foxtel. Yeah, you have to mirror from your laptop or phone.
And then they're not even allowed to sell it on like Google Play or iTunes until the season's done.
It's so ridiculous.
Stupid.
Murdoch.
If you have Foxtel, you're part of the problem. Even if you get it for free, I'm talking about you.
Actually, I don't know. I haven't checked if the new Venture Brothers episodes are available on iTunes.
Yeah, maybe it is.
That would be awesome if they were.
There's probably some.
Because it would be a much better way for me to watch them.
There is some dumb prick that has cable rights for it, you know?
Dumb pricks. So, Venture Brothers is back and it's really, really good. And if you are a fan of the show and watch it, hit me up. I love talking about the episodes afterwards. Might even start a personal chat of Venture Brothers fans.
We have a podcast.
So few of us. But on to shows that you watch and love.
Yeah.
Neon Genesis, Evangelion. I watched the 9th episode last night.
Yeah.
And
good
it's the one where, what are their names?
Shinji and Oscar.
Yeah. They have to work together.
Unit 1, Unit 2.
To fight, to take it down an angel. And they do so by training to music.
Because it's an angel that's, it splits into two.
Yep.
It's like and they Hydra. Need to take it down.
Mm-hmm. Quickly.
In unison.
And man, what a fucking great episode.
It's a great episode. It could be a movie plot.
It could span that over
90 minutes. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's basically Top Gun.
I'm loving this series. Yeah. It's a quick update just to let you know that I'm loving this series that you knew I would love.
I didn't know if you'd love it, to be honest.
Really?
Because again, I watched it as a boy and now I am a man and I too have a very special time and a place for that show. But then also it is like the most probably well-revered anime of all time, especially television series, and holds a very special place worldwide. So it's like all those people couldn't be wrong, but I was also risky, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, but I don't care about the world who agrees that this show is a genius. And
I could still acknowledge that it's a good show and not like it, I guess.
Yeah, but you actually are enjoying it. I'm fucking loving it. So that's the best part. You're not watching it for like research purposes.
It's just like the mood it puts me in is so satisfying. It's a strange...
It's melancholic, isn't it? The show itself.
Everything about it, from that, like, you know, really over the top and energetic opening theme. Yeah. And then this like very affecting and like, you know, with quiet
moment. You know what it has? There's no Scottish head explaining what's going on.
I have an audio track that Mimir just shows up and just tells him the backstory.
It shows. I've got
the Stan Lee one too. It's like, Excelsior, true believers. You know, Japan.
They read their comics back to front.
What kind of name is Astro Boy anyway? I would have called him Spaceman.
And stolen him from a Jew. Isn't that what he did? And they steal like heaps of...
Hey, it's not Woke Winter, Angus.
Oh, it's not Woke Winter. I would... No, then I'm championing him for stealing it.
So, Angus, we did another questionnaire.
Can we stop flirting and talk about Mission Impossible?
One second. We did a questionnaire over in our... exclusive Patreon group.
I answered this one incredibly drunk in a bar by myself.
No, excellent. The best way to do it. That's
why there was a lot of typos and it wasn't good.
Well, look, basically every Friday in the Hey Fam Patreon group, we do a 10-question questionnaire. And it's been really, really fun. Questions range from what's your favorite Batman movie? Do you prefer multiplayer or single player games? What's a TV show that everyone loves that you could never get into? What grinds your gears?
It was a big throwback to last week, wasn't it?
And the correct answer to that, of course, is racism.
If you didn't answer racism, we've alerted the police and you're also being banned from the Patreon. And we've doubled your donation.
But the realest question on here, and I'm just going to have to keep it up every single week now, is have all the patrons choose between me and Angus in some weird, cryptic way.
If you need this, it's fine. Like, I'll let you have this.
No, you demanded I do it now last week.
No, for you. I'm like, do you need it?
I don't need it. I thought you were like, no, you have to do it now. Yeah. This is on you, Angus. I can not do it if you want.
Yeah, it's fine. I will win. If you want to see someone win every week, that's me. Keep doing it. I think so, I lost this one as well.
No, I think a lot of people want to be a cat. So
I
said,
it was a bit weird. You were pretty much like, would you be a cat that can't talk and like hasn't, or would you be the son I birthed, like that I made from coming?
I squeezed out my butt.
Like, it was a weird question.
Made from coming.
Like, I would have felt weird being like, yeah, this guy I give money to once a month, I'm going to say he birthed me. Like, I could see why people didn't pick you this month, week.
So yeah, it
was a weird one.
The final question was, would you rather be Angus's cat or Levin's kid?
Would you rather be a cat I got from a cat shelter and it's fine and like I saved a life, or one that literally I had to do a cum to make and now I'm like responsible for and feed it and take it to school and like I'm shaping it as a human? It was a big thing. Like, would you rather be a dumb cat who is naked and shits itself or like the fruit of my loins? You know what I mean?
A lot of people said cat.
Yeah, because I felt uncomfortable being like, I wish I was the thing you camed. You know, that's the way I saw it.
Well, okay, right, you get to pick the Angus versus Levin's question this week.
Who's the best Angus out of Angus and Levin's?
Okay, all right.
Who's the best host?
That'll be the final question. Who's the best Angus out of Angus and Levin's?
No, I'm going to be, would you rather be Levin's son Archie or Angus's son Archie? Adopted son. No, I'm not going to do that. I want to leave Archie out of this. I'm a gentleman. I don't bring kids into this for sympathy points.
Oh, I'm sorry for dragging your cat into this mess.
She had no say.
I so I didn't forget, I wrote, who's the best Angus into my browser bar and hit enter.
What came up? A fucking hamburger.
Angus Australia's top 10, a year in review 2017.
Burgers? Fuck, I hate having the same name as a burger.
No, it is. Angus. Yeah, Angus. Oh, wow. Just heaps of cattle carcasses.
Yeah. Well, that's the best Angus. A dead cow's a good
dead
cow.
Angus. A dead Angus is the best.
A good Angus is a good.
Definitely. If you want to answer the amazing questions like that one, plus get access to the.
What's the best Switch indie developed Metroidvania? And it's like 100 choices.
Head over to patreon.com/heyfam. Angus, is there a little movie you'd like to talk about?
That's all I've been wanting to do. How long have we gone so far?
We're an hour in.
Fuck, we should have done this ages ago. I'm sweating. And then I've learned you haven't seen the start. Just disrespect. You know, I did a podcast last night about Mission Impossible.
Yeah, you want to play that quickly? You were on the latest
episode.
Listen
to the free version of... No, it's great. I'm joking. If you're going to Patreon one thing, give your money to Reporter of the Week. Okay. If you're going to Patreon two things, Hey Fam and that. Then third thing, Total Reboot. I was on their podcast last night. This is good. It leads into this. It was, as you know, that podcast, big friends of the Hay family.
Alexi and Cam.
They deal in the business of reboots or reimagings or soft reboots, etc. So we did Mission Impossible 1 last night, which was, of course, a reboot of the TV series.
Yep.
So, yeah, covered a lot of territory there. Tonight is great thematically moving forward, and I am talking about the sixth entry in this set series.
Did you also do next week's episode of Total Reboot?
No, we're doing that actually next week.
Okay, right. And is that going to be about...
2 through 6.
Oh, wow.
It's all the sequels, which at one point we're going to do it, and I still agree with Alex. We should have done it from 3 onwards because that was kind of seen as a soft reboot.
Right.
But look, I'm not in charge of that podcast, and a guest doesn't have much.
Can I make a suggestion? Yeah. You do 2 to 6, excluding the first 5 minutes of each of them.
I think that's just disrespectful.
Because some true fans.
You're like, a lot of things I didn't get, and I'm starting to think it had nothing to do with Fallout. I'm starting to think it's with the first 5 minutes.
I got everything that happened.
Oh, I thought you said there were some little things you didn't get.
No, like there were characters that I assumed.
They probably stood in front of the camera in the opening scene and said, my name is so-and-so.
My name is Jeff.
This is what I'm doing. If you're a little bitch who was buying a 3DS game, you don't deserve to know who I am.
Do they explain in the first 5 minutes why Ving Rhames always wears his hats on an angle?
No, and that's even that's beanies? Why no, all of them. He wears them on a 45 degree angle. I actually spoke about that last night as well. I think he's auditioning for the Expendables. That's my theory. Another great
the
movie
Piranha
franchise
didn't go where he was hoping it would go.
The Vincent the Vega brothers prequel never happened, so he couldn't be Marcellus Wallace in.
Of course, that's right. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, Mission Impossible, Fallout.
Fallen Out.
I saw it this morning.
Will you fall out with me for not liking this?
I saw
this?
98% of that movie this morning.
Well, it's also its rating on Rotten Tomatoes, coincidentally.
Yeah, I really loved it, man. Just to get it out there.
It's a great bit of filmmaking. It's awesome.
I thought it would be fun. I had every intention to see the ones I haven't seen. I was even going to try and rewatch the ones I have, but then... Mm. People just kept putting out Metroidvanias, and someone in this world had to play them.
I'm Tom Cruise addict, and you're a Metroidvania addict. We should start.
Which is more normal? I'll put that in the question.
Fuck, it's pretty weird, isn't it? Both of them are pretty strange.
Yeah,
yeah, that's good. It's a good one. Yeah. Okay.
Metroidvania versus Tom Cruise.
Filmography. Would you rather play every Metroidvania, indie developed Metroidvania, or watch every movie in Tom Cruise's filmography in a short span of time?
Okay.
That's a good question.
Put that in there.
This is good.
Patreon.com.
Patreon.com. If you want to answer this, if you haven't paid us, we're not going to listen to your answer. I'll shoot you on sight if you try to give me your answer.
And hilariously, there is a Metroidvania game based off the Mummy.
Yeah.
So
it's not interesting enough because there's one for everything. The chances are there was one. There was actually a Nintendo 64 Mission Impossible game.
Really?
It didn't have likeness rights for Tom Cruise, and Ethan Hunt did not look like Tom.
Did at any point, like, you'd hit like a part in the level that you couldn't access at the first, but then as you gradually level up and get new abilities, you're able to access those parts in the level?
Is this Scientology?
That's Metroidvania. Oh,
no, it's also Scientology.
Scientology is the Metroidvania of religions.
It is, seriously. You pay more and you go higher up on the chart. Have you gone clear yet in Hollow Knight? And seriously, Scientology is the same as a Metroidvania. You're trying to get 100%. You're trying to go clear and you're sinking in hours instead of dollars. They're torturous.
That's fucking great.
It's seriously, I thought you were seriously talking about Scientology. I wasn't trying to be clever. I was like, is this a
real Have you ever done the Scientology? Like,
oh, yeah. I went in and filmed the video with my old Nokia side phone, the one they play at the start.
Oh, yeah, man.
I was like, Louis Theroux, get out of my way. I'm 18 and have an opinion. I stole a poster, which my ex-housemate Lloyd has at the moment, which is huge. It's that Bridge to Total Freedom one, which Reddit exposed later. But we used to have it up in our house. It's like every clue. I wasn't mocking it or anything. I just thought it was a nice trophy.
Right.
That were like, I distracted my host and said, can you go get something for me? And then
Scientology
poster. I had a backpack and just like kind of put a lot of their paraphernalia into my bag.
Went straight to Triple J and we're like, hey, look what I stole from
Out of my way, Father John and...
John Safran.
John Safran and Father Bob. I've worked there and don't even know their names.
Father John
Misty. Well, Father John Misty. He sucks. He does.
I don't know.
Shit, not a vibe, but look at him. Yeah, I can wear a R.M. Williams and a cowboy hat too, but I'm not getting paid like the dumb dollars you are. He's not even a registered father or whatever. He's not even Christmas, Father Christmas.
So we've done a full hour. I reckon we go full spoilers straight away.
Yeah, Mission Possible. What did you think?
I loved it.
As someone who'd seen 50% of the franchise and 95% of this one.
Oh, cool. I went down a little bit. Yeah, I loved it. Yeah. I thought it was just an expertly made action movie.
It's the thing we don't see a lot anymore. And I kind of spoke about this with like high budget horrors, which go to cinema. The high budget, like non-comic movie or Disney-owned franchise action movie or Fast and Furious. Like it's kind of, there's not a lot out there. You're either mid-tier budget or you're like a Fast and a Furious movie or a new franchise or something. It just seems like a movie that's not made that often, I found.
Yeah, I mean,
to this level,
I guess I'm so used to these big budget movies having the Disney Cakes. Touch and being so like, you know, like quippy and like being mostly comedy with a bit of
like
drama.
Adult oriented.
This movie took itself so seriously,
but it never to the point of it being stupid.
No,
like you bought in and all.
Totally.
Like, oh yeah,
I'm like, and you have the comic relief characters still.
You're Simon Pegg. You got Ving Rhames' snappy one-liners
and his cool hats.
His cool ass.
I loved when he quoted Aquaman.
Oh yeah, he actually did, didn't he?
Yeah, he goes, my man.
Yeah, that's right. It was a nice story about that's when I'm like, this is DCEU.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I just like obviously like Tom Cruise takes himself extremely seriously.
He has and Tom Cruise.
And he's so Ethan Hunt, the character, is such an earnest character, and I don't think he could be played by anyone else in the world.
It would be a parody if anyone else played it.
Exactly. Yeah. And he Tom Cruise just plays him so straight. Like, you know, the only joke he makes is at the end when he's like, please,
you know, that's one
please
of
please don't let me please stop making me laugh.
That was one of my favorite final lines of a movie ever. Yeah. And then it just ends with
it just fucking ends.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah, and
I love
no,
the ending.
There's no post credits, there's no like setup for the next movie.
Just it's like, please don't make me laugh. And I'm just like, oh, the movie's done. It was sick. Yeah, I love that ending. I laughed at that ending. I was like, that's a really cool ending. So did you miss his dream at the start of him being married and his wife exploding like a nightmare that he wakes up?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I missed
that. So you did miss stuff. Yeah, that's why I'm like, shit wouldn't have made sense.
Okay, I came in and Ving Rhames had been shot.
Yeah, that's like 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Yeah,
okay, sure.
Yeah, yeah. You miss. So but basically.
They explain it so many times that like, you know.
So basically what you missed was you see him wake up in Belfast. Is it Belfast? Yeah, he wakes up in Belfast after having a dream of the dude with the beard with the whispery British voice. Wedding him and his wife and then her exploding.
Right.
And then he wakes up and then he gets a mission and it's like, oh, there's plutonium here. It explains that. And there's a doctor who's the only doctor who knows how to turn it into like a nuclear blah, blah.
Right,
and
sure.
And then the next scene was him and Simon Pegg grabbing that with Ving Rhames and then Ving Rhames being shot. So he missed, yeah, it was 5 minutes.
And it gives him the plutonium.
Yeah.
So his friends can live.
Because he's a good guy.
Yeah.
So that's good, important. As long as you got that. But yeah. Also, so the wife character we haven't seen since...
Three, right.
We see her at
the end of four. Yeah.
See her at the end of four, yep. And you just know that they're divorced and it's to protect her and she can be a ghost.
Right. So even having not seen that dream scene, like they fully set that up really well within the movie, because as soon as...
shows the photo.
Henry Cavill shows the photo. You're like, oh yeah, that's obviously like
Mission Impossible movies is like a series of, and they don't even hide this now. Like the movies are written around sequences, and these sequences. I mean, the big takeaway is a guy that's almost 60 doing every single stunt.
And these are the best stunts so far.
So like, you know that Halo drop they do.
What does Halo
drop
mean?
They jump out of the plane and they're free falling.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I assume that was green screen trickery, like in a room that's like pushing so much air, like those zero gravity rooms.
Yep.
It was for real. Huh. And they had to shoot it 100-something times, do 100 flights up. Like it was for real.
Henry Cavill too?
Yep.
Oh my God.
Tom too, obviously. And he had to get within 3 feet of the camera because they had the camera all locked where it would go for it to focus. And when he didn't, they would have, okay, let's land and go up again. And all that was legit because I was like, this looks really real. That's a really impressive looking...
That's like fucking scary as fuck.
That's
scene
an amazing
too.
Scene
like,
yeah. as well.
That and, lightning, and then for them to get... I know, and just like
comes out of nowhere, and you're like, "Fuck!" It's such a good scene.
And then he like, yeah, like he
the
saves,
toilet scene, he saves, fight in the toilet.
Should we call him Henry Cavill or Walker?
Justice League moustache,
Superman.
The moustache that killed Justice League. He was so much better in this than any of the DC movies.
Dude, he was amazing.
Him as a bad guy fucking rules.
And like to the point where like I don't think he could be Superman anymore.
No, he's
like,
too menacing now. He rules. Like I'm bummed, and this is a spoiler. I'm bummed he's dead because I'm like, this would be a great villain for Mission Impossible.
I don't know. You don't see his corpse. Like,
it's true.
If he came back with like robotic parts, or something
I'd be
like
so
that,
into
like,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he rules.
And a big just and that hook just implanted in his head.
Just he rules, man. He's such a good guy in this movie.
When
like
he the first fight they get into in the bathroom,
oh, and he's like takes throwing his jacket dudes off, through walls, and he
comes
loads
back
his
and he
gun.
Puffs up. Oh my God!
So there was a great interview recently. Tom and the cast are being interviewed. I'll post it in the Patreon group, but they're just like, Henry, there's that scene, and Tom's like, oh, we're all on set, and he's done something I've never seen before. He reloads his arms, which is what he does, and they're like, Henry gets really bashful. He's like, go on, do it, Henry, and they're like doing a pressing, and he makes like Henry do it, like just reload his arms. It's so sick.
That rules.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that like Tom Cruise is clearly like in the best physical condition of his life.
Oh, yeah.
And he's in this age, but there's no gratuitous shots of him shirtless or
no, because like, I mean, gravity does start to have an effect on him. Yeah. He's pushing 60.
But
getting to 60.
Oh, I kind of wanted to see. I wanted just one shirtless. I want to know what it looks like under there.
So the MI6 agent, you wouldn't have got a lot of. She's a big character in the last one.
And yeah. So is the so guy. That was the only one that I was like,
and the guy they're kidnapping.
Yeah, I figured that.
Rogue Nation.
I figured that she was in a previous movie and that he was the villain from the last one. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's kind of like the anti-Ethan Hunt.
Yep.
He's like got a team of disavowed
agents.
Who's
that actor?
He's in Prometheus. He's amazing in this.
Yeah.
He's like perfect.
Really menacing
Solomon.
And gross. And yeah.
Yeah. He's amazing. He's really clean cut in the last one, but because he's in prison and stuff, he's got this like big beard.
He's gross as hell.
Yeah. That scene where they take him down in the car, and they show what they want it to be like, and he's like, I don't kill the cop. You know, the scene? That would remind me of the Joker scene in Dark Knight when they're trying to capture.
Yes, definitely.
And then, like...
He reminded me... I this is the first, like, thing I've been reminded of Heath Ledger as Joker.
Or also, like, a Nolan film. Like, some of the action sequences
definitely.
In this
were
so well made, so well shot, so expertly shot. Yeah, I just think it was such a fun movie. I can't wait. And again, it's just such a simple plot as well.
Yeah.
Literally like,
yeah, I know, totally. It was awesome.
Nothing much to say for me. Like, rather than this abridged, like, I had a ball and I can't wait to watch, like, 10 more.
Yeah, they're just going to keep making more.
Of course they will. It's on cruise. Yeah, this one's been such a success, too. This one's, like, the biggest one ever.
It's doing incredibly well, isn't it?
It's critically being... I think because we are at, like, peak franchise, including Star Wars. Like, you got, like, the Harry Potter stuff. You've got... Everyone's doing comic book movies. I think it's just refreshing for a critic to see like an adult franchise that doesn't rely you to know all, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. I get what you mean. I also like, I think, you know, I know it's like it's eye rolling sometimes when you're like, you know, Tom Cruise broke his arm doing his own stunts
fucking
again.
Rules,
like,
though.
I know, but and I get so into it knowing that he's done all these stunts.
He's giving his own.
And but also, like, you know, if at the end of the movie it was like, by the way, these events actually happened, Tom Cruise saved the world, I'd be like, yep, yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. It should be called Tom Cruise.
So you know he learned to fly a helicopter and hits him in a helicopter. There's no blue
those
screen.
Scenes are so and the
so when he's going down and like screaming, that's like because he didn't know. And like Henry Cavill's, I've seen an interview and he's like, yeah, there were chances where like we could have died flying between those mountains. He had a pilot,
yeah,
but Tom was piloting by himself. He's like, what? I'm gonna do this. He learned to become a pilot.
The part where the two broken helicopters are falling down a cliff.
And they're just like stacked on each other.
Like, my favorite scene in Jurassic Park Lost World is with the
truck on the edge.
Yeah. That's like easily the best scene in that movie.
Yeah, it's and the one that, the only that. One I remember.
Yeah.
Besides the dinosaur being really small next to a street lamp.
And the T-Rex eating the dog.
Yeah, that's right. It's barking in the backyard.
And the guy that gets eaten by all the little dinos.
Yeah, yeah. All right, there's like four iconic scenes in that shit movie. And anything Vince Vaughn says.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just dope. I want to see it again. I mean, I was on that opening night, preview night.
Well, I mean, if you're like me, you could see it again and there's still parts you haven't seen before.
That's yeah,
like
no, that's new, always a good thing about missing the start of movies.
In your opinion, what do you reckon is better? The first 5 minutes of Mission Impossible or picking a booger out of Wario's nose in a touch-based minigame?
Gonna have to go with the first 5 minutes of Mission Impossible.
But Angus, it's a best of all the Wario
on a system that's like probably not going to be around for that much longer.
That's a bit like they're like phasing out 3DS.
I should put that on the Switch. That game.
It's this game is like a love letter to the DS generation. I'll die on this hill.
Okay. Yeah. No, I've died on so many hills on this podcast. I'll let you have that one. So you enjoyed it.
I mean, I thought it was awesome.
Do you want to watch the other ones?
Yeah, of course I do. I did beforehand too. This only made me want to watch them more.
You should go in order.
So this director, you were saying that all he's done before this is Mission Impossible 5.
Christopher McQuarrie. Well, no, he's done more. He's worked with Tom Cruise a lot. He's done a lot of script work on a lot of his films from Valkyrie onwards.
Right. What's his name, Chris?
Christopher McQuarrie.
Yeah, right.
He's done Jack Reacher.
He directed that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He directed
Jack
Reacher. I think he wrote Jack Reacher as well.
Is that good?
Yeah, it's fine. It's kind of like... He's kind of like, I don't love it as much. I don't love it, but it's because he's like the opposite of Ethan Hunt. He's like working class, gritty, tough guy. He's not this earnest. He did Edge of Tomorrow, which is
The screenplay for Usual Suspects.
Yeah. He made Live, Die, Repeat / Edge of Tomorrow, which is one of the best movies recent years. Yeah.
His first movie was The Way of the Gun.
Oh, yeah. I remember that movie. Benicio del Toro. Yeah, you should definitely watch the Mission Impossible movies in order now. They're all on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, okay, cool. Another thing I should sign up for.
Well, like I said, they're super cheap on iTunes as well.
Yeah, like $30
like
for all
five
of them.
Yeah. The fifth one's not on Amazon Prime. So seriously, it's worth buying them.
Okay,
They're brilliant.
I kind of can't wait to watch the Woo one again. I mean, when they do
it's in Sydney, baby.
The face-off bit at the start. I loved the bit where they trick the would-be terrorist.
Yeah,
that like it's 2 weeks and it's only been half an hour.
How good. That's an amazing scene. And kind of a callback to the first movie, they do a similar thing.
Yep.
But how good is the scene, man, when he gets Henry Cavill to confess to Simon Pegg in the mask?
So
and
good.
You just, everyone's like, you go like, oh.
So how many movies has Alec Baldwin been in?
He was.
In general.
He was in, what's an Alec Baldwin movie? If I think of one. No, but so he is, he was in the last one.
Right. So just these two.
The last two.
Right.
Yeah, he comes in and he's like, you can't be, he basically is anti IMF in the last one, but ends up becoming the director.
Has it always been IMF?
Yeah.
The organization? Yeah. Right. Sure. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. It's always been IMF.
And who is the actor that plays the head of the CIA?
In this one?
Yeah.
What's her name? That was, she's in Black Panther. It's, Bassett.
Angela Bassett. Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, she ruled. So that was her first Mission Impossible film.
Oh, right. Okay, sure. Yeah,
she is the queen mother of Wakanda, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked the cast. I thought the direction was
phenomenal.
Was awesome.
It's shocking how well made. Like, Fallout's great as well, but it is not this movie.
Fallout.
It's still, sorry, not Fallout. Rogue Nation.
Rogue Nation, yep, sure.
Rogue Nation's very good.
But I like this. Like, so when the last one I saw at the movies was Four, the Brad Bird.
Great film.
I saw it because I love Brad Bird. I didn't like it.
Really?
Like, I loved parts of it, but I thought that
maybe when you watch
there
them
was
all?
A hokiness to it that didn't gel with me, and it really did feel like this. this latest one didn't feel like the...
There was no...
It didn't feel like it was filmed around action set pieces.
Though when it... And if it did, it really served the story.
Exactly, yeah. I really like the story of this one.
Yeah, I like the low stakes of the story. Not the low stakes, but I like the personal element of the
wife.
There
was a dumb kind of globe-trotting thing to
The villain's forgettable. See, the best thing about Five in this, it's this great villain. They finally have a good villain.
Yeah, and they didn't kill him.
Three has a great villain as well, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah.
And it's classic, he's after this thing and it's true JJ. And this isn't a spoiler because it's a JJ Abrams movie. You never find out what it is.
Yeah, great.
He's like, I need the rabbit's foot. And you know what the rabbit's foot is for the whole movie and you never find out.
That's great.
That Ethan Hunt's trying to stop
him. I need the mystery box.
Yeah, he's trying to stop him from getting the rabbit's foot.
That's awesome.
It's phenomenal. Yeah, that's one of the best villains. Him and, Solomon.
Yeah, I loved it. I really, really, like, I knew it was going to be fun.
Yeah.
But I liked it so much more.
That motherfucking helicopter chase.
Yeah,
most movies waver at the third act.
Yeah, yeah.
These movies in particular, like not Mission Impossible movies, but action films.
Yeah, and you're definitely. Either
like, okay, but this movie was like a whole third act.
Yeah, it was incredible. And like the way it, you know, you have the detonator and the two bombs and you put the cast up on those three things and they're all facing and like bringing his ex-wife in at the perfect moment.
With a great husband who you want to hate but you can't.
Yeah, he's like, really nice.
He's like, you guys catch up.
Yeah, yeah. It was so good.
No, I want you to be bad.
And he's just so devastated that she's in this town and that their guardian angel sent them there. And like, yeah, it was like a really well crafted story.
Really
like
good.
For this kind of movie, like,
you don't expect that.
No, totally. Yeah. It was really well put together. And yeah, I mean, it's not just like you should see it on a big screen just because.
You've got to see it on the big screen.
Exactly. But like, I thought it was a really, really good
experience. I'm glad you liked it. It's a movie that like people were just not expecting to like that much or to be this good. You know?
Yeah. It's like, it's fantastic.
Like from the trailers, I was like, that's, yeah.
I love that like two of my favorite movies this year have been this and Jurassic World.
It's sick, right?
I went in with like kind of like, oh, whatever.
It'll be okay. Refreshing,
and then just like, I really thoroughly surprised by these...
It's refreshing, like, right?
Blockbusters that know what they're doing and
it's refreshing.
Do something fun with them. Yeah.
Go see it. I'm going to see it again. And I'll see every Tom Cruise movie ever.
What's your favorite Tom Cruise movie now?
That's a tough one. It's maybe I don't know. That's a tough one. That's a really good question. I need to think about it. I have seen so many.
I'll put that as one of the questions in the questionnaire this week. So you have to
answer
it.
That'd be really good. Yeah, that's cool.
I love that this is like the franchise, this little franchise that could.
Yeah. Well, it started off great. I mean, Brian De Palma made the first one, which is wild.
And which is a really well-received movie. And then John Woo like directed the most batshit insane one.
I mean, it made a lot of money, but it also wasn't a spy Mission Impossible movie. It was really dumbed down. But kudos to this, I'll go into it later another time, but kudos to being like, let's pick A-grade director for each movie and just make it as completely different as possible rather than like a gun for hire kind of like, and it's shitty to compare them, but like it's hard not to compare them to the Bond franchise.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, up until recently, they've only started using like auteur directors. You know, Danny Boyle's doing the next one.
Which is very exciting.
Sam Mendes did the last two. You know, like they've started using big names and it's interesting that was kind of a... I mean, John Woo in the late 90s, early noughties was like one of... That was a risk. He was a huge Hong Kong filmmaker.
Was that his first Western movie or had he already done... I think he'd already done...
He'd done Face Off,
yeah.
But that's still a huge thing, like taking a young... But it was kind of a baller move when you think about it.
Yeah,
getting
definitely.
This like non-Western director to handle this like distinctively Western franchise. I mean, the movie itself's not great. There's some awesome sequences. It's the least Mission Impossible movie out of all of them.
Yep.
Three.
With the coolest version of the theme.
Oh, the best theme ever.
And the soundtrack in Six was awesome.
How good was it?
The congas the whole way through. Like,
I really dug the soundtrack.
Percussion always like being like prevalent.
So yeah,
it was a nice change of pace from like the Zimmer.
It wasn't Zimmer. It wasn't Diet Zimmer that much.
Yeah.
Yeah, it had enough of its own. Man, that toilet fight is so good.
So good, man.
Yeah. It was sick. See, one movie usually has like two really great scenes. This had like 10 really good action sequences.
So many good ones. Yeah. And we haven't even talked about the car chase scenes. Like, they were
amazing.
Brilliant.
Scene.
And like, when they knock the dude in the water and then that brilliant shot of the... As he's about to go under the water and it's like this huge wave taking up half the space.
And he's like upside down.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Yeah. It was an expertly made film.
And I thought that like after that first scene where they trick the terrorist.
That was going to be the rest of the movie.
That we weren't going to see Ving and Simon again.
They're like, in the whole thing, baby.
And then they just, they're in the whole movie. And,
the best thing about the Mission Impossible movies compared to, I guess, a Bond movie I love the Bond movies, don't get me wrong, but I do love the camaraderie and the fact that they're teams.
Yep.
I think that's such a cool thing. And the team changes for every movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's such a cool... I mean, it's obviously a throwback to the show, but it's such a cool thing to do. It's like diverse. You've always got different people with different strengths. And yeah, the credits are great. I love how it's like a television episode where you see what's going to happen in the movie.
Yeah, totally.
It's fucking sick. Yeah, it's such a cool...
I loved the drifting. There was some great drifting.
There was some very cool motorcycle drifting too.
That was the part where when he's in the car and he whacks the handbrake on and then like...
goes
like
backwards. Drifts
and then like lands perfectly on the adjacent road.
It's tight as shit.
Yep.
It's such a... Yeah, there was a lot of gasping when I saw it. In a full cinema.
Man, it was like, it's just a great action.
It's a ride. It's a really good ride. Yeah. It's weird. It sounds weird. If you'd woken up from like an 8-year slumber and you're like, the new Mission Impossible movie is one of the critically best received movies of all time at the moment. And this year, it's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go say it.
I'm here. I'm here for it.
I'm here.
I'm dropping picks.
Picks dropped. All right, let's end this one and do the next one.
On to the next one?
On to the next one.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Hey Fam. If you'd like to listen to more episodes of Hey Fam, you can do so right now over at patreon.com/heyfam, where we're recording a new episode of our radio show, Hey FM. You've heard us talk about it already in the show. We're gonna be out for a little while longer, maybe even long enough to watch the Nintendo Direct about Super Smash Brothers.
When's that?
Midnight, so probably not that late.
No. Absolutely not.
But record next week, there'll be a not only will there be a new Smash Brothers Direct with new information
we've been invited to play Smash Brothers
next week.
When's it out? Do we know yet?
In December.
That's wild.
So I reckon that means they're going to announce something crazy tonight. If
it's going to be online testing, I guarantee it. It's going to be drop a pick.
But I don't know, for us to be invited to go play it in August when it's coming out in December.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like that's pretty crazy. It must be something.
Shiggy going to be there?
I don't know. Can you play as Shiggy?
Yeah. Maybe we should put in the question of what will we see at this event?
Okay. I love it. Even though it's going to go up on Friday, which is after. Oh, no. You're right. Yeah. Perfect.
We're doing next Tuesday.
All right. Yeah. So many great things. Come join us.
This is a great episode.
It's been a brilliant episode. And you've been a brilliant listener. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to get in touch with the show, facebook.com/heyfampodcast, heyfampodcast@gmail.com. Angus is at Jimmy Changus. I'm at Webdog. Enjoy your morning.
It's great.
Enjoy your Smash Brothers Direct.
Yeah, you're probably watching that and listening to this. Real ones will know.
Bye. Hey! Bam!
Bam! Bam! Bam! This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.